hope. And Jackie, you could speak as long as you need to. 30 minutes, if that's okay. If you need to go longer, feel free to do so. And thank you for taking the mantle and being of service. And I'm going to turn it over to you.
Hi everyone, I'm Jackie, I'm an addict.
Hi,
Jackie.
Jackie.
Thank you for asking me to be of service. It's a privilege, an honor really, to be sitting here. And there was me thinking I was just going to join in a meeting, and now I find myself speaking and sharing with you all. But I do regard it as a privilege to be part of Narcotics Anonymous, to have been given a new way of life, and to be with people that are on, the same journey as me. And where to start? Well, I came here because of my drug use. I'd become extremely ill. I didn't even realize how ill I was when I first went to get clean, and I was given the opportunity of a detox treatment center. And it was there that I began to understand just how ill I had become, using for a very, very long time, over 30 years. I began when I was around 14, I suppose. I started smoking at 13, around 13, 14, and I didn't go and get clean properly. I'd had another attempt, but hadn't got completely clean. It wasn't until I was 46 that I actually got clean from everything. I think another few months after that, to get rid of some antidepressants, I wanted to just stop everything, and I had to be told by my counselor at a secondary rehab. I didn't just go to a detox. I needed secondary care and third stage care, and then when I finally went home, aftercare. And I had an immense amount of help. I actually prayed for help at the end of my using. I was, at the bitter ends, as we say. And yeah, it was bitter. It was, I literally got to the point where I said out loud, I cannot live like this anymore. I had a friend in the village where I lived out in Suffolk, a using friend, using companion, and he bailed me out again one morning when I was ill, and I couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear being in withdrawal. I just, I just couldn't stand it. And he helped me out with something or other. I mean, my detox was from a variety of substances. And this is when I say how ill I was. I had to reduce my methadone prescription to a certain amount to be admitted to this detox. So I got down to 40 mils, I think it was. And I had three benzodiazepine prescriptions. I also bought other people's as well. I used street drugs as well. So I was officially a poly addict. And they had a doctor there who didn't think I was going to do it when I reeled off just the list of the pharmaceuticals. And I told him that I had to do it. You know, I crossed the country deliberately to a place where I didn't know anybody, so I couldn't escape and just wimp out and you know, go on score. So I hadn't chosen a rehab near where I lived deliberately. I wanted to give myself the best chance, having made the decision that this was what I was going to do. I had no clue really what was ahead of me, what it would be like. I don't think I really had a concept of it being clean, what being clean was gonna entail. But I did understand that it was to get off the bad drugs, at least, you know. So we had an electric bell that went off at 7, 12. Sure, if it was what time was after that, but a couple more bells, you know, evening and night time, and you queued up and you got your mashed up pills on a spoon so you can like stash them for later or anything. This was a good place. I don't think I properly appreciated it. Because I had a 24-hour medical center, you know, with nurses and stuff, and I think the doctor was in like most days. And it was expensive. You know, I found out that my local drug service could only afford to send me that financial year. That impressed on me that, you know, not to fuck this up. You know, that money had been spent on me. I mean, added it all up afterwards, and it was lots of money. I had all these other rehabs to go to after the detox. It was the detox that was most intense, though, I have to say. It saved my life. We were introduced to NA. We had sort of counseling groups and writing to do on the steps. I didn't want to go to a 12-step treatment center. I asked, please don't send me to there, to a 12-step treatment center. I'd seen the steps on the wall. I'd been to NA long, long time ago. I wasn't ready for it. I was in an emotional turmoil going through a court case over my youngest son and didn't want to see the word God anywhere at all. I related that word to sort of Sunday school and going to church when I was little, and I felt like I was judged or punished or something. I believed I was cursed. I'd had an unhappy childhood, and I don't know if I thought it was my fault, but I reckoned I'd been dealt a bad hand somehow, you know. And I was wild. I did not like being told what to do. I didn't like the values of society, my parents, none of that. I wasn't having any of it really. And I rejected it all. So that it was only with my using friends that I felt comfortable, and it was only using that made me feel comfortable until the day, of course, that I told you when I was. It was not just uncomfortable, it was intolerable. And I knew there had to be more to life. My experience was that all of us that were using in the town where I lived, they died. They just, they overdosed. Some of them got clean in jail. Some of them got sectioned. Maybe heard of the odd one, maybe. I think I remember hearing about one person that had gone to a rehab, never to be seen again. And the reason I got a place was because a friend of mine had turned it down, and she had described it to me, and I had not really understood it as an option. And then I asked, and I'd been on the books of this drug services for so long. They probably didn't know what to do with me anymore. The years and years of prescriptions clearly weren't working, and they didn't have any other kind of solution to offer me. But when I asked for help, it was given to me. And when I got there, I couldn't understand why I, above everyone else, had been given this help. And I was told in there, look to your left and look to your right. Within a year, only one of you is still going to be alive. Now, I decided I was still going to be alive in a year's time, that I wasn't going to mess this up, that I had been given an incredible opportunity. Because I seen people in there, it was their like fifth rehab, and they'd like come in and out and in and out like it was something to do with their life. And I didn't want that to happen. I wanted to succeed at it, all the same, I was an addict. And when I seen drugs get brought in, of course, I tried to get some, but nobody gave me any. The process of the rehabs went on for a year. I did some voluntary work that I absolutely loved, because during my time I'd been an artist, I'd been a leather worker, I'd done handmade stuff, hand-tooled stuff. And I became a tutor at a local college, doing voluntary work. A college where the kids there had all been failed by the education system, in a really, really beautiful place. And I went there every week for nearly a year. This was back in 2003, 2004. I had a reservation, and that was my family. And this is another complete different aspect of my recovery. how the disease is in my family. I have three children and they're all addicts in their own way. The eldest two use drugs. The youngest one is into his food and gaming and drinks sometimes. I had to actually go to a different fellowship to deal with all that. And anyway. But I had about a year clean when I relapsed round at one of my family members' places. My daughter had been missing for 2 years. And I was desperate to see her. I'd been to Birmingham Convention. I got a lift there. I wasn't supposed to be visiting the family. I was supposed to be going to the convention and back home, but I knew people. I had friends in the area where I was in treatment. And anyway, I got to see her. But I couldn't resist picking up and used for 5 days until I got home again and had to start again. I'd done service in my recovery. I came from a small town, a small meeting, and really there were so few of us that to keep the meeting going, it really meant that we rotated our service positions to keep the meeting going. And I did that for about 15 years. Every week, we started other meetings up and kept them going as long as we could. And I went to other local meetings. I went to the conventions when I could. I had a local sponsor to begin with when I was in the third stage place. But when I came home, I found a local sponsor near to where I lived, who had come to our meeting one night to share. And I asked her to sponsor me, and she said it would be an honor. And she said, "Will you give it away?" I said, "Yes." And I believe that I do. And that is another incredible honor and privilege. You know, to get another day alive and clean is an amazing privilege, I think. We say it's for an addict, a day clean is a miracle. So, you know, we are all living examples of that miracle. By the grace of this program. And not a day goes by when I'm not grateful for that. You know, I actually say thank you in the morning. It sounds very cheesy, I'm sure. But this is the truth. I'll say thank you when I open the curtains and see the light there. I got another day on this beautiful planet. I am blessed to live in a beautiful place. I really am. And that gratitude keeps me going, keeps me together, it really does. And the like I was just saying, the experience of sharing that and being able to pass that along is really wonderful. It really is. I have a sponsor with 34 years clean now, and she's been my sponsor for about 16 years or so. We work the steps. She does a lot of service. And she guides me. She's a very, very loving, sweet person. And I don't know where I'd be without her. I really don't. Got some step work to do next week, I believe. She's devoted and has shown me how to live life on life's terms, which I still struggle with now and again. Want to do it my way. Thing is, I've found a way to live in this world, and it's through working this program on a daily basis, and it enables me to do some of the other things that I love in my life and have relationships with my family. I love them dearly. Some of them are easier to be around than others. I don't see them for long lengths of time. Because of this disease, because the ones that are active in their addiction, I much as I'd love their company most of the time, I just can't take it. I just can't. And after each Christmas, I'd wonder, am I really gonna still keep putting myself through it? Because it's painful. But we'll see. So working the steps and living the steps enables me to have a life. I wouldn't be alive if I'd have continued using. I've no doubt about that. So I thank this program and my higher power and all you guys and all the meetings, and your service for helping me to stay clean and have a life. I've had difficulties last few years with a spinal injury, and still getting well from that. My last operation was about a year ago, and I'm still trying to regain some fitness and strength because I waited 2 years because of COVID for that op, and my legs were very weak. I became very weak. I'm going swimming and I'm doing exercise classes and trying to get that strength back, and went through a lot of pain and difficulty during that time that I was never not grateful. I know I had depression. I know I did. Because it was difficult. And it lasted such a long time that I kind of got used to just being disabled, and I have to, make a real effort to chivvy myself up, sort of force myself to do things that are difficult, that are painful, still quite painful to do. Push myself, and I'm enjoying that, and I love the swimming. I really, really do. I have a lot of interests, and they're not all active things. They're things that involve reading or being on my computer. This is what I mean about having to push myself to be active, because I think I got used to sitting still or laying still for so long. And I know you guys, some of you have been through very, very similar things, because I like to go to the illness and recovery meeting on here. And I really like your meetings. I recently left my home group, and this has happened to me twice now, on the virtual. I know we say principles before personalities, but my God, there's some personalities that are hell to deal with and do service with, that maybe they don't put principles before personalities. And I can be forgiving, knowing that we're all sick, knowing that I'm sick, and I don't want to judge anybody and the rest of it. But I want to enjoy my recovery. I want the happy, joyous, and free. I do not want to dread going to a meeting or a group conscience, or being shocked by somebody's attitude and the things they just kind of say. Anyway, so I left a home group recently, and it's a relief. It's sad because put a lot of work in, but anyway, that's that. So I've been doing other meetings and getting comfortable doing that for a while, and stay in touch with some of the others that have left the group, because it's a shame when you do service with people and then whatever reason falls apart, So, thank you for asking me to share. I'm not sure what else I can say, but I've had a good day so far. I went to an exercise class and chatted with the sponsee and messaged a few people in recovery, and I've got a nice book, a few books that have come through the door, and I've just embarked on a course, and it's partially online, and it's partially with real books, so I like that. And something very, very close to my heart that I have the time to devote to it now. I'm at that place in my life where I don't have to go to work, although I could. I could work, like, at home or something, you know. But now I'm feeling better. I'll consider, you know, whether I have skills that I could make a living from, really. And I feel myself waffling. But thank you so much for asking me to share. And thank you all for being here with me. Love you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie.
It was one.